Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
KFC is a bottom of fast food fried chicken. I said what I said. This is the kind of news, like, if Kim Kardashian dropped another tape, would go crazy. That's how big it was. Did I compare myself to Superman? Yes. Will I take that back? Absolutely the not. If everybody that listens to this episode gave a dollar, they would earn $5. So let's do everything we can, guys. The caucasity in me, I don't know what the I was thinking. It's your audible booth thing, Amber Smiles Jones, and welcome to the podcast where we shoot the shit and we take our silliness seriously. The professionally silly podcast, the podcast where we can find the silly in any topic that we discuss. I actually really enjoy the research for this podcast because I end up learning a lot of things that I never actually thought about. And I got to tell you, I am learning with you as we go along during the research and all that stuff. I've learned so much with this podcast, and it's so much fun doing this with you guys. What's coming up in this episode? Well, we're going to have ourselves a new question of the week. I am hoping to start a few arguments in your households. That's what I'm trying to do. And also, Oreo just came out with a new flavor. Okay. And I got to tell you, it's a little bit questionable, but it might be finger looking good. We will talk about that. And also, have you ever wondered about the origin of the thing that creeps out everyone? We're going to talk about that. The origin of the Ouija board. That and more coming up next right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. I am still thinking about doing this YouTube live podcast episode. I want to do it, which would be August 28th, which I guess would be next week. I don't know why I'm so nervous about it. Like, I've done it before. Let's just do it. August 28th, next week, on the Professionally Silly YouTube channel. We're going to make this podcast live. And this will be a good time because if you want to join in the chat, the live chat feed, I'll be able to respond to you right there as I'm recording. So you'll be a part of the episode. So again, August 28th on the Professionally Silly YouTube channel, we're going to go live at 7 p.m. on August 28th, which I believe is Friday. So get ready for that. All right. So the other day, I was literally this weekend, I think it was like Sunday or something like that. I woke up in a panic because around 3:30 in the morning, maybe earlier, I have no idea what the fuck time it was because I was asleep. I was awakened by the sound of alarms going off in my house. I'm talking about, it was crazy, super loud. The cat was freaked out. West, a.k.a. DJ, hey, cousin, didn't know what the fuck was going on. My dad didn't know what the fuck was going on. We just heard these crazy loud alarms that just went off and woke us all up. So we all just kind of went into the hallway upstairs, and we're all wearing boxer briefs and T-shirts, confused as shit. You know, like, what the hell's going on? I learned that night that we all dress the same when we go to sleep at night. All right, so the crazy thing is like, you know when you wake up disoriented, you just have no idea what's happening, you're still trying to figure shit out? So the first thing that comes to Dad's mind is, hey, is there somebody in the house? Is there somebody here? And I was like, I don't know, I'm going to go check. With the caucasity in me, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking, but I legit went downstairs, no bra, mind you, no pants, I wasn't even wearing socks, brah. I had on a T-shirt and some boxer briefs, and I went downstairs loud as fuck. Like, I didn't even try to sneak. But at this point, you know what I'm saying? I just went down there, turned on all the fucking lights. Like, who the fuck am I? What am I? SEAL Team 6? What the fuck? So I legit did that. So I go downstairs and I am looking around the entire first floor of the house trying to see if there's somebody's here. But you know when, and the crazy thing is, you know what's insane about this is I wasn't even afraid. I wasn't even scared. Like, I was prepared I think I was ready for a fight, because first of all, I was woken up, you know, early as shit, when I didn't have to be. All right. For those of you who were new here, my day job, I work for a radio station for a morning show. So I'm usually up by 3:30 in the morning. And let me tell you something, fam, and sometimes earlier than that. So on the weekends, that is my time to sleep in, and sleeping in for me is like 8 a.m. And I wanted to sleep in. It's the weekend. I don't have to be up. So I was fucking furious. So whoever caused that alarm to go off was going to just, they were going to meet my fury. They were going to meet my fury. I was prepared. It was a wrap. I didn't even go downstairs with weapons. I went down there barehanded, just ready to fuck somebody up. So I'm walking around downstairs and I don't see anyone. I don't smell anything. I don't see any fires, but it was indeed the smoke alarm. And once again, I didn't see anything, but it's only the smoke alarms upstairs, which I thought was also kind of strange. And there's like 7 of them up here. And I think it was about 4 of them that went off. So it was really, really loud. So of course I went to Gemini, went to Google, you know, my AI assistant. And I was like, hey man, why the fuck, you know? And Gemini was like, well, it could be a series of reasons. It can be because of humidity. It could be because it's, you know, you need to change your battery. It could be because of faulty wiring if it's already hardwired in. It could be a lot of things. And I was like, okay, well, it's probably because of the battery. So I went to Family Dollar that morning, bought like 10... Yeah, I think it was like 10. I bought a lot of them. I bought like 10, was it D-volt batteries? 9-volt batteries. And we replaced the batteries of all the smoke detectors. And then we didn't hear the sound again. But the crazy thing is throughout the night, when we didn't realize what was going on, is that these alarms continued to go off. It was like every 30, 40 minutes they would go off. So I was like, all right, we got to fix this. So then I ended up going to Family Dollar to fix the problem. But yeah, it was terrifying. It turns out in an emergency, you can count on me to bring out my caucasity. Apparently, I'm definitely going to die first. Oh, I need to work on that. Let me go ahead and give you your question of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Would you rather go 100 years into the future or 100 years into the past? And why? Let me know down below if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, Professionally Silly. You can comment below and give me your answer. Or if you're on Spotify, you can do the same there as well. I got to be honest with you, dog. I'm black, okay? I definitely don't want to go 100 years in the past. They barely treat us right now, okay? So I'm not really too sure what the future holds, but guns ahead, I'd rather go to the future. And that's if it even exists. I think as humans, we're probably going to ruin it anyway. And we're like going to be the next dinosaurs, bro. Like, I feel like we're all going to go extinct at some point so that Earth can thrive without us. Is that dark? It might be. Who gives a shit? Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, a new Have You Heard About? Right here on the Professionally Silly podcast. Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. Unique New York. Unique New York. All right. Bobby Bibbitt bought a ball. Bobby Bibbitt bought a bat. Bobby Bibbitt banged the ball against the wall. I'm ready. Have you heard about the KFC and Oreo collaboration? Now that's not a collaboration I thought would exist, but let me tell you something about all these random ass companies doing random ass collabs, coming up with these crazy ass insane flavors. I am over it. But now KFC is going to taint Oreo. Let me tell you something. KFC is on the bottom. KFC is the bottom bitch of fast food fried chicken. I said what I said. Okay, it's the bottom bitch of fast food fried chicken. Every other fast food fried chicken corporation is better than KFC. It is the hill that I am willing to like sprain my ankle on. All right. All right. So So the KFC and Oreo, they actually released a limited edition fried chicken flavor Oreo in China on July 31st of 2026. So this was just last month. All right. So clearly this is a super bizarre crossover. Okay. Because it's going to feature the standard chocolate wafers with a savory, salty cream filling. Okay. It's modeled after KFC's 11 herbs and spices. All right. Containing no actual meat. Let's make that clear. So that's what's going on here. This is insane, by the way. There are a lot of things that they're actually like surprisingly good ideas. This one, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. Let's go ahead and discuss the product details here. So the filling itself is going to replace the standard sweet white cream filling that we're used to when it comes to Oreo cookie. And we're dealing with a savory herb, spice, and salt blend matching the KFC's batter. Now, if you're watching this video via Professionally Silly YouTube channel or Spotify, you can see exactly what it looks like. It looks insane. And the only way I would try this is for content. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't be at the store and be like, KFC Oreos, exactly what I'm looking for. That would never happen. This is insane. Now, Popeye's Oreos, maybe. You know, Church's Oreos, perhaps. Bojangles Oreos, again, there's a better chance that I would try. Now, here's the thing. I know I got a lot of your mouths just watering as I was telling you about this, but this released exclusively in China, or as Trump would say, China. Okay, that's where it's at. Okay, as part of a quote, this is a quote, playful time travel, end quote, collection alongside a retro popcorn flavor, apparently. So, yeah, China's doing a lot of crazy things. And China and Japan is known for having insane flavor combinations that usually rock your socks off. But I'm not saying how this is going to be any good. All right, so there is no official global rollout that has been released by Oreo or KFC. So now, if there's anything that you can take from this right here, is that China has KFC. I don't know. That's just something to know, I guess. Keep that in your back pocket. You don't know when you might need that. Have you ever wondered about the origin of the Ouija board? Well, if you haven't, that's just too damn bad, because we're going to talk about it next right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. Listeners, allow me to ask you a question. Okay? How many of you have actually used a Ouija board? I'm pretty sure that the number is not very large, but I'm sure the number of those of you who know what a Ouija board is astronomically large. I don't even know if I said those words right. I just wanted to sound super smart. I've been watching Suits, recently catching up on that, and I got to tell you, Meghan Markle, she can still get it. Respectfully, of course. She's a married woman. My God. But yeah, there are things about Ouija boards. First of all, I, as you guys know, or maybe you don't know because you're new here, but I am a paranormal investigator. I've done a few things in my time, and I got to tell you, I don't fuck with Ouija boards. But here's the thing. I've never really digged into the history of the Ouija board. And as I said earlier in the beginning of the episode, is I just love my podcast because it allows me, I don't have to stay in a box on the Professionally Silly Podcast. We can always have a good time with different topics and learn different things together. And in doing the research and getting these episodes prepared for you, I end up learning a lot of interesting things. And I'm genuinely excited to share it with you. So let's go ahead and start this with, you know, citing our work here. Okay, we don't want to be sued. I remember how people treated Crime Junkie when they first got started, you know, so I don't want to end up like that. So let me just make sure everybody gets their due here. All right. So we went to a BaltimoreMagazine.com, an article that was entitled Not Dead Yet by Ron Cassie. Also, I went ahead and did the SFOMuseum.org. The Mysterious Talking Board, Ouija and Beyond, and of course, my main bitch, Wikipedia, which, by the way, another reminder, Wikipedia is indeed a nonprofit organization. They are a nonprofit website. So if you can, please donate a dollar or two or five if you got it. You know what I mean? Because let's be honest, at one point, we have pretty much all used Wikipedia, and it costs them money to keep up with. And we use it for free constantly. So if you can give a dollar, literally a dollar, If everybody that listened to this episode gave a dollar, they would earn $5. So let's do everything we can, guys. Let's do everything we can.
Is your life dull? Need answers from beyond?
It's moving by itself.
Ask it, who will win the big game? Get your talking board today. Fun for the whole family.
Ouija board, connecting you with the other side, whether you're emotionally prepared for it or not. Because sometimes, leave me alone needs to be a group decision.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, let's be Frank here, okay? Or, okay, I'll be Amber and you be Frank. Okay, that's not funny. Let me move on. It all started with people being super into ghosts. It's always been a thing. People believing in the paranormal is not a new thing. In the late 1800s, people were absolutely obsessed with spiritualism and the belief that you could communicate with the dead. So if you don't know what spiritualism is, I'm going to drop a little bit of knowledge on you. And when I say a little bit of knowledge, like the most minimum amount of knowledge I can give you on this. I'm not who's somebody who would study spiritualism or any kind of a ism. It's not me. Spiritualism is a belief that when someone dies, that their spirit and their mind or their soul, it doesn't just disappear. Instead, it kind of lives on in like an invisible world right next to ours. That's pretty much like the gist of it. They believe that our spirits keep living and loving and sharing messages even after our physical bodies are gone. So of course, people wanted to communicate with their lost loved ones, hence the Ouija board. So seances themselves were pretty much the Victorian era version of everybody getting together and saying, okay, so if there's anybody dead here, it's time to have a conversation. That's pretty much what it is. Who wants to talk to me tonight? Now, people, they kind of experimented with all kinds of ways to communicate with spirits, including talking boards. That's a thing. So, which we now call those Ouija boards. All right. The idea of it was very simple. Put letters, numbers, and words on a board. Then you use a little pointer that is called a planchette. And now that is what is used to actually spell out the messages. So I feel like we all kind of know what a Ouija board is. That was just for those of you who were like,
I never heard of it. I've never heard of what's a ghost. Never heard of it.
But there's more to the history of it. Let's discuss planchette writing and talking boards. It actually dates back a lot further than I expected as I was doing my research for this. And according to my notes here, this dates back to like ancient China and Greece. And when we're saying ancient, I'm talking about like AD, baby. That's pretty ancient, all right? A similar concept. A similar concept actually existed in China as early as the Song Dynasty. And that was actually between 960 and 1279 AD, a long ass time ago. So this was actually known as Fuji, spelled F-U-J-I. Two mediums held a wooden T-shaped frame to trace the characters in a tray that was filled with sand or incense ash. Which, by the way, if you're going to be doing anything in sand or ash, I feel like you got to do that inside. I feel like the slightest wind or breeze is going to fuck all that up, you know? So, again, thank God for the Ouija board. The modern time, we're saving lives, man, or communicating with the ones we lost. I don't know. There's a joke there. Figure it out for yourself. Let's get back to the planchette writing. Now, the planchette writing is actually a form of automatic writing where there's actually a physical device that holds a pencil. And this pencil is actually used to kind of scroll out messages on like a sheet of paper or whatever the fuck they were using. I would assume paper or leaves or I wasn't there. Now, this is, again, way before the planchettes that we were actually familiar with today. All right. The planchette that we think of now is made of plastic, and it's got that little clear little plastic window in it. We can kind of see the letters that it's choosing. So it's a bit different here. Back in the 19th century, it was designed to physically write on paper. Ah, the good old days. Writing paper. I remember those days. Now we just text everything and email things. Remember letters? Remember like snail mail? Like people used to like send you mail and you were excited to open it and read it and stuff. Ugh. Good times. The only thing I get in the mail now is junk mail and bills and like political shit. Ugh. Same thing with phone calls. The planchette was invented in France in 1853. So if you're looking, if you're watching this on YouTube right now or Spotify, you can see exactly what it looks like. It looks kind of cool. Like I kind of get how we got from there to where we are now dealing with the design of the planchette. During the American Civil War, which was between 1861 and 1865, Many lives were lost. We're talking about millions of grieving families and people wondering, what the fuck happened to my loved one? Is there a way that I can still communicate with them? Now, of course, many, many people found solace in the belief that they could indeed communicate with their deceased loved ones. So by 1886, rumors were all over the place. And those rumors were about the talking boards and how they were all over Ohio. Oh, yeah. O-H? I'm hoping that somebody listening was like, I-O. And here's the thing. And doing this research, I had no idea that Ohio was the epicenter of all of this. And that it literally, they paved the way for the invention of the Ouija board. So Ohio, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for that. You guys are great. In the mid-1880s, shit got wild. And the major news outlets, and they were all talking about these talking boards. In March in 1886, a circulated Associated Press report and the New York Daily Tribune were all over it. We're talking about, this is hot news. This is hot news, okay? This is the kind of news like if Kim Kardashian dropped another sex tape, shit would go crazy. Okay, this is the kind of news we're talking about. That's how big it was. Okay, so anyways, I don't think she'd do that, though. You know? So they ended up ditching the pencil, and they used their homemade boards instead. So people were making homemade Ouija boards in the late 1800s. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about the 1800s. We're going to take an audible journey, okay, to Baltimore, Maryland. Okay, we're going to take it back. Okay, I'm telling this story out of order. It doesn't matter. It's a podcast. I'm not a fucking book. The 1800s, I don't know. I wasn't there, but a lot of shit happened there. And you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about it a little bit.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Let's take an audible journey to Baltimore, Maryland in the late 1800s. 1890, to be exact. So a pivotal turning point that mixed together traditional Victorian era and modern culture. That's when this happened. Okay. A lot of cool shit went down in the 1800s. One of those cool things was journalist Nellie Bly's record breaking trip around the world in 72 days. That occurred. Legendary mystery novelist Agatha Christie, ever heard of her? And U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower were both born at this time as well. The U.S. Congress officially established Yosemite National Park to preserve those big-ass sequoia trees and a lot of California wildlife. That happened at this time as well. 1800s, again, fire. Things were happening. Also, in other news, the first execution by electric chair took place at Auburn Prison in New York. And, of course, you know I have to tell you this, but in the United States, a pound of bread was 6 cents. A dozen eggs would run you about 20 cents. So, you know. But, of course, at this time, the hourly wage for the typical laborer was about was about 13 cents per hour. So you would have to work about 100 minutes just to afford a dozen eggs. I guess things haven't changed too much. Everything's still dumb. So anyways, in 1890, attorney Elijah Bond patented a talking board. Okay, he is the one who patented the talking board. He and a dude named Charles Kennard, they founded the Kennard Novelty Company to mass produce these boards, which, by the way, they were not spiritualist at all. They weren't. They were capitalists. Ooh, I think a smart joke? I don't know. According to the story, in order to actually secure the patent, the U.S. Patents Office wanted proof that the board actually worked, which makes sense. Why am I going to give you this thing if it doesn't actually work? I understand that. So in 1891, Helen Peters, a medium, and Elijah, they went down to the U.S. Patent Office in Washington, D.C., and the chief patent officer pretty much said, "Hey, man, I'm not going to give you this patent if you can't prove that it works. So why don't you have this talking board spell out my name? Why don't you do that?" And they were like, "Okay, well, let's see what we can do here." So they actually tried it, and his name was spelled out. And of course, because of that, the patent was granted. Now, the crazy thing is that neither one of these people, Elijah nor Helen, knew this dude's first name. They were like, "Hey, U.S. Chief Officer," whatever the fuck his last name was. You know what I'm saying? So this is interesting. I find that very intriguing. Now, supposedly, Helen Peters asked the board what itself wanted to be called, and the board allegedly spelled out O-U-I-J-A, the word Ouija. Now, when asked what that meant, the board supposedly said, "Good luck." I'm not really sure that happened or not, but that is what's going on in internet history. Okay. The name also kind of has like a less spooky explanation for it as well, which the first one isn't really that spooky now that I think about it, but is generally believed to be a combination of "oui," which is French for yes, and "ja," which is German for yes. Hence, you know, Ouija. Yes, yes. I don't know. Good luck. I don't know. I guess the Ouija board's a yes man. I don't really get that there, but that's what they say. So the historical evidence suggests that Helen Peters was actually wearing a locket at the time, featuring an image of a famous woman's right activist and author named Ouida, and which she could have likely misread, which was spelled O-U-I-D-A. So you just spell Ouija and replace the J with a D, and that's how her name was spelled. I'm not even sure if I pronounced it right. I think I did. Again, a podcast. I'm not Wikipedia. What do you want from me? So let's talk about when they got down to business. All right, so here's the thing. The board, eventually, of course, it was produced commercially. All right, we was making money. And this dude named William Fold, I think is how you say his last name, was an early-ass investor, and he wanted to make this money, okay? And the best way to make this money, of course, is going to be to mass-produce this shit. The thing that everybody wants to use to connect and reach out to their lost loved ones. I love it. I mean, I get it. But I don't charge when I do my paranormal investigations. I mean, I wish I could. It feels wrong. It's like Superman asking you to send you an invoice. Did I compare myself to Superman? Yes. Will I take that back? Absolutely the fuck not. Now, of course, by the 20th century, Ouija boards had become super popular, kind of like as a parlor game. And William, well, he got super aggressive with his marketing. Am I saying the word super too much? I'm saying it's superly super too much, right? All right. Anyway, moving on. Here's the funny part of the origin story. The Ouija board itself wasn't even originally marketed as summon Satan and ruin your weekend. Like, it wasn't even about that. It wasn't about talking to demons or things like that. It was literally sold basically as like a fun way to communicate with spirits, like loved ones especially, or to like, you know, as a talking point. It was a game. It was like playing Monopoly or some shit to a lot of people, you know. And here's the thing. Eventually, movies, horror stories, religious concerns, and pop culture, well, they transformed it into the creepy supernatural object we know and love today, the Ouija board. So, of course, the Ouija board kind of went from, let's see if grandma has a message from beyond, to, why did that planchette just spell out my name? That's That's pretty much what happened there. You know, it's kind of interesting how like culture and like different stories and different things that have happened that just kind of coalesce to literally change what the Ouija board was initially wanting to be used for. And it became this creepy force of nature. When in the beginning, it was just like, well, you can talk to your great grandpa, you know, and see what it was like to work the farms or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? It's very interesting. Here is another fun fact about this whole thing. William Fold or Flood. Fold? I don't know. Anyways, the early investor who was like, let's go ahead and mass produce this bad boy. Well, he died in 1927 after he fell off the roof of one of his buildings. And here's the thing. This building supposedly was a building that the Ouija board told him to build. So that's a little creepy. A little bit. And of course, 1973, a very important year for a horror film. Okay, that might be a familiar year for a lot of you who are like horror film fanatics. The Exorcist. Yeah, remember that movie? That was released. Okay, and now if you don't know the plot of The Exorcist, but it's pretty much about a young girl who was being demonically possessed after fucking around with a Ouija board. And after that movie dropped, the modern horror folklore. That's a hard one. That's hard. Say that yourself. I'm trying to say horror, which is already hard, and then folklore after it. Fuck it. That's hard as shit. But anyways, after that, the modern horror folklore to the Ouija board, it took over. It took over, and it has not changed since. Now, today, Hasbro, they own the trademark for it. So you can buy a Ouija board. It's not hard. They're available everywhere. But my thing is, I still, to this day, ladies and gentlemen, I still will not fuck with a Ouija board. For the same reason I don't jump into gator-infested waters wrapped in bacon. It's fucking dumb. Why risk it? It's the same reason why, as a woman, I don't walk down a dark alley towards a group of men. Why would I do that? It's not worth the risk. So let me know. Have you ever used a Ouija board, and or would you use a Ouija board? I'm very curious. For me, no. And let me tell you why. The Ouija board we just discussed, the whole idea of using something like that to communicate with the dead was like back in AD. Okay, it is one of the oldest ideals of how to communicate with ghosts, spirits, demons, whatever the fuck. Okay, I feel like any demon is gonna know what the fuck that is versus a necrophonic app or a K2 meter or a flashlight. They might not know what the fuck that is. I don't know. This is all just weird, illogical, and logical thinking in my head. Okay, the Ouija board is old as fuck, and I feel like you could be inviting something in that you don't know is there. You might be wanting to talk, you know, to your grandma, but you're going to pick up Lucifer or Lucifer's evil twin brother or some shit. Okay, so I'm just saying, don't fuck Ouija boards. Just like cats, don't fuck Ouija boards. All right? I've spoken. It's time to tell me something good with this just in. Something Didn't Go to Hell segment coming up next right here on the Professionally Silly Podcast. So here's the thing. This segment, the Tell Me Something Good segment, the reason that this segment is a Tell Me Something Good is because we are able to do something to help someone. And not just someone, one of you, one of these Smile Squad members, one of my most supportive listeners and viewers of all of my content, honestly, needs our help. Demaje, I am talking about you. She is a wonderful, wonderful human being who needs our help. And she is someone literally in our world consuming the same silly, goofy content that I am creating. So she's family. And I want to go ahead and ask you guys for your help. Many of you have spoken to Demaje via social medias because all of us talk a lot. You know, we like to communicate and all that good stuff. And she is a sweetheart. And you may not know this, but she is disabled. And she needs our help to literally regain her independence, which leads me to her GoFundMe. I've donated, I think, $50, close to it. I don't know, near it. I actually donated twice on accident, but it's fine. I donated the first time and I thought it didn't go through, so I donated again. But I don't regret it because she is worth it. And so let me share with you what's going on here. So her sister is actually the one who started this this GoFundMe campaign for her. I'm going to read exactly what it says here. It says here, which, by the way, I just see that her real name is posted here and I don't know how to pronounce it. I've always called her Demaje. This is crazy. It's because of social media. It's not my fault. I think it's pronounced Desaya. But it says here, "Hi, everyone. I'm reaching out on behalf of my sister, Desaya, who is 30 years old and living with a disability that affects her mobility and independence. She's one of the strongest people that I know, and it's not easy for me to ask for help, but right now she truly needs the support. She has been without an accessible vehicle, and unfortunately the local transportation options available to her are unreliable and inconsistent. Rides are often delayed, unavailable, or simply not equipped to meet her accessibility needs. Because of this, even basic things like getting to medical appointments, running errands, or just staying connected with friends and family have become incredibly difficult. An accessible vehicle would completely change her day-to-day life. It would give her the freedom and independence many of us take for granted. With reliable transportation, she would be able to get to her medical appointments and therapies safely and on time, handle everyday tasks like grocery shopping and errands, stay socially connected and involved in her community, and pursue opportunities for work, volunteering, or education. The reality is that accessible vehicles and the modifications they require are extremely expensive, far more than we can afford on our own. That's why I'm asking for help on her behalf. Any donation, no matter the amount, will bring her closer to regaining her independence and having the ability to explore more. Understanding that times are hard for many, if you're not able to give, sharing this campaign would mean so much to us. Thank you so much for taking the time to read her story and for your support that you can offer. It truly means the world to both of us. With gratitude." Demaje, I'm not even going to try to say your sister's name, okay? Demaje, no, I'll be fucking with her. I love her very, very much. But yes, Demaje is disabled, and she doesn't talk about it that much. She just, I mean, it's only a part of who she is. It is not the only thing that she is. Demaje is creative, and she is funny, and she is supportive, and she is kind, and she's warm. And I would like to do everything that I can. So I am sharing this GoFundMe with you guys. Now, don't be getting ideas, okay? I'm not going to be buying everybody all kinds of shit, sharing everybody's fucking GoFundMe. Demaje special. So don't take advantage of me. Also, Demaje, only 5 people listen to this. I have no idea how I'm going to be able to help you. But girl, I love you very, very much. And I do hope that those of you listening to this right now are able to help someone, you know, someone like you, you know, someone who's just trying to get by day to day in a world that is just not made for us. So let's go ahead and help out our homegirl Demaje if we can. And I will put a link or GoFundMe down in the show notes and the description box if you're looking at this on YouTube. And if you can give $1, $5, $10, whatever you can give, that would be amazing. Plus, you can write it off of your taxes. Just think about that. You know, you're a little, you know, just saying.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Listen, if there is anything that you can take from this podcast episode, it's capitalism has their hands in everything, including ghosts. Who knew? The Professionally Silly Life Rules, guys. Seriously. First of all, I want to shout out you guys, my listeners, because you guys are fucking titties. You are. I love your faces, but most of all, the ears that are attached to them. Here's the thing. I know I say that every week, but I really, really, really appreciate those of you that are here. I joke a lot that I have like 3 listeners, 5 listeners, or whatever the fuck. And I understand that it's a lot more than that, you know. It's at least 20. But even if my numbers were just 5 or just 2, being able to share this amazing and fun information with you every week and taking your mind off of the other bullshit that might be going on in your life. Just giving you, you know, 25 minutes to an hour of just time to not think about anything but whatever the topic is that week. I appreciate it because it does the same thing for me, except it takes me a lot longer. I got to edit it and all that shit and research. So we're talking about hours of taking my mind off of shit going on in my world. But I just want to say thank you and let you guys know that I appreciate you joining me every week. And if you haven't already, do the things, subscribe, review, rate, five stars. You know the thing, you know, the stuff that every podcaster asks you, do that. And also, guys, if you want to join on in on the silly, maybe you've got some advice or good news or hilarious story to share or confession, whatever it may be, you can email me at itsprofessionallysilly@gmail.com, or you can DM the podcast Instagram, excuse me, at itsprosilly, itsprosilly on Instagram, or you can leave me a voicemail or text at 805-664-1828. And of course, speakpipe.com as a website where you can leave audible messages. So if you were an international listener, you should be able to take advantage of that as well, from what I understand. So hit me up at speakpipe.com/AmberSmilesJones. Subscribe to the Professionally Silly podcast if you haven't already done that. All the good things, because let me tell you something, there are over 300 bingeable episodes waiting for those sexy earlobes of yours. So go ahead, go over here, but lower of this episode. What am I saying? Listen to the other ones. They're good. My P.O. Box, Amber Smiles Jones, P.O. Box 533, Lovejoy, Georgia 30250, which, by the way, you know who you are. I got the birthday card that you sent. Thank you very much. And the $25 Visa card on the inside. And this is the same person who sent me the Christmas card. What was it? I got the Christmas gift that you sent. It was like in February or March. It was a funny thing. So I love the fact that you keep it up, and I love it. And you mentioned it in the card, and don't worry about it. You don't ever have to apologize for being late for anything. I am just, first of all, I am grateful for being thought of. So thank you very much. And the $25 Visa gift card is going right into my gas tank. I have a long commute, 5 days a week. So I appreciate it. Once again, it's your audible boothang, Amber Smiles Jones, and thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station, right here where I take my silliness seriously. And I'll leave you with this. Boneless chicken wings are just adult chicken nuggets. That's all they are. Anyways, enjoy that. Until next time, peace. Silly listeners, watch where you step, because there are pieces of shit everywhere, and they love to spread their ignorance. Okay, bye.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.